You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Oh, well, I'm delighted to welcome now onto the show, Barry Meier. How are you, Barry? Good afternoon.
Very good. Thanks so much for having me on.
Now, am I saying your surname correctly, sir? Meier or Meier?
Meier.
Okay. So Barry Meier, and we're talking today about a brand new book called Spooked. And this is a fascinating topic because I don't know, Barry, I sometimes think that because I interview a lot of people who have written biographies about spies during the Second World War and the Cold War, of course. And, you know, we watch a lot of like James Bond stuff and Jason Bourne. I think in the back of our minds with all the technology and so on, it's that kind of spy is of yesteryear. But you're telling me otherwise.
Well, what's fascinating to me about this subject, which I investigated in the book Spooked, is that we think a lot about spies as government spies, you know, about the CIA and MI6. But in the past decade, there's been a huge boom in private spying, these so-called corporate intelligence firms that will spy and dig up dirt and information for corporations, the wealthy and the powerful, even political parties, be it in the US, England, and elsewhere.
So are you saying then that it's actually a far more of a kind of private entity than it was maybe a few decades ago, where it's kind of more governmental led?
It's a whole new sector. I mean, the governmental spying continues to go on, but in the past decade, you've had a tripling, a massive growth in this industry of private spying. And it's a renegade industry, a mercenary industry. And I kind of chart this out in Spooked by telling several stories of how, you know, these spies are essentially, you know, invading our privacy, profiting from deception, and also manipulating the news media.
Is it a different kind of spy? I'm sure with technology, it's all changed. Everything's changed in the world, of course. But, years ago, it would be kind of a guy on the street corner meeting somebody else. And is it a far more of a, very surreptitiously meeting somebody? But now it seems to be more online, and maybe the spies look a little bit different. Maybe they're more kind of a different age. I don't know. Tell me more. What would you say?
Yeah, it's very much moved into the digital age. I mean, the capacity is available to, you know, easily bug our cell phones, to manipulate social media, to eavesdrop on our lives, to create the kind of avatars online that we're familiar from political campaigns. And, you know, and the people that do the private spying are, you know, former government spooks, former journalists, kind of over-the-hill law enforcement agents who are seeking to string out their careers.
Is it lucrative for the spy?
It's massively lucrative. There's little data on, you know, how much this industry brings in every year, but the most recent estimate is about $1.5 billion.
Wow. That's quite amazing. And of course, it's been pretty much in the news of late with, the Russia interfering with American elections and so on. Is that what we're talking about? Or is that far more of a kind of state-sponsored kind of spying?
No, in fact, one of the stories that runs through the thread, as a thread through Spooked, is the story of the so-called Trump dossier. But what I do in the book is I sort of deconstruct it by telling the stories of Christopher Steele, the former MI6 spy who helped compile it, as well as two former Wall Street Journal reporters. And kind of through them and through their stories, see this whole dossier in a very different light.
How do you go about, approaching a spy for an interview?
In this case, there were a lot of them that didn't want to be interviewed. But, I've spent my life as an investigative reporter, and there's many ways to skin the cat. And that includes going out and interviewing people that they've been involved with, by getting your hands on documents that they don't want to be public. I mean, in many ways, what I have attempted to do in Spooked is tell a story that people like Christopher Steele and people like the former Wall Street Journal reporters that assembled the dossier don't want to be told. I mean, it basically tells the public about and, kind of reveals the secrets that these folks have tried to keep under wraps.
Do you feel the weight of responsibility when you're reporting on this stuff or telling the story, that there's people that could get into serious trouble if their names are released or if the stories are recognized? And what does that do when you're trying to kind of bring the truth through?
I feel that the people I have written about in Spook should have their names revealed, because they have used the cloak of secrecy and, cut deals with other journalists to try to keep who they are and what they are and how they operate under wraps. And I think it is incumbent upon the news media, which I still consider myself part of, to be forthright with readers and viewers and listeners about how these private agents try to manipulate the news.
And so there must be some danger for you in all of this as well.
I don't know. I'm hiding out here in Western Massachusetts at the moment. Yeah. And I feel
they won't come
back.
I'll leave it. Yeah.
But who knows what the blowback will be when, the book is coming out in Europe, in England this week. And it got a really rave review, thankfully, in this weekly newsletter that Waterstone sends out to its readers.
Now, it's great to hear a journalist who's doing this kind of stuff, because this feels like the 70s again, investigative journalism taking place and people being revealed, and that feels like it's on the wane a little bit in our society of late. Kind of a lot of cheap journalism around.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the unfortunate things is that journalism has become very hyper-partisan, very slipshod, and this book is not just about, Spooked is not just about the private spying industry. It is very much about journalism and, a sort of forthrightfulness, I believe, that journalists need to take on board to be open with readers and viewers and listeners about where their information is coming from, so that the public knows and has an insight about who's trying to plant information.
Yeah. And if there's politicians that are hiring private operatives to smear their opponents, then that's something that we should know about.
We definitely should know about it. It should definitely be front and center. And, one of the stories I tell in the book is how journalists, while reporting on this Trump dossier, kept these relationships concealed. And to me, that was a grave mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're talking about, obviously, we're talking about politicians, we're talking about major corporations here. There seems to be at the moment, it's such a sensitive world we live in, isn't it? That corporations must be looking for any which way to get an advantage on their opponents. And we're talking money at the end of the day, aren't we here?
We absolutely are. And yeah, we're talking about people who are willing to do anything and pay any price to destroy their opponents and enemies. And one of the major weapons that they use are the types of private spies that I write about in Spooked.
Yeah.
It's a very mercenary business, and it's based on the fact that everyone wants to win. I mean, you know, what I write about also in part is how, you know, the biggest law firms in the world, be they in London or New York or wherever, you know, employ, you know, private spies that use these reprehensible and skeevy tactics because these lawyers want to win for their clients and their clients are demanding that they win.
Yeah. What about the psychology of a spy? Some of them, obviously, they're in it for the money, you know, and everybody has to make a living, but there's other ways of doing it, I suppose. Are they convincing themselves there's a moral reason for why they're doing what they're doing in certain cases?
Well, what they're convincing themselves is that life is amoral, and they need to be amoral in order to succeed.
Yeah.
But I think what motivates them, along with the fantastic amount of money that they can make, is that there is a thrill that comes from spying on others, from having that kind of power where you know things about people's lives that they don't know. I mean, there's a famous movie about the Stasi called The Lives of Others. And, you know, it's that kind of thrill that these people get. And a lot of the, you know, folks that end up as private spies, you know, former intelligence agency, former law enforcement officials, and even journalists, you know, when they were working in government jobs or for major media organizations, they were essentially paid to dig up information, and they feel empowered in some ways to use the same techniques they did when they were in government when they go over into the private sector.
A lot of the stories that you deal with here and the spies behind the story are well-known stories. We talked about Trump there. Harvey Weinstein as well. That's one that you cover in the book.
Indeed. And he utilized this company called Blacktube out of Israel. And going back to your earlier question about technology, what they do is they outfit their spies with, you know, digitally enhanced identities, you know, create fake Facebook page and LinkedIn accounts and what have you, to create the illusion that these people are, you know, are someone other than whom they actually are. So they create, you know, digital personas that then these people go out under and try to con, you know, unsuspecting targets into revealing information.
How dark does it all get? I mean, obviously, we watch a lot of these spy movies, and there's murder in there, there's affairs, there's all kinds of activities going on, criminal activity. How dark does it get?
It gets very, very dark. I don't have any murders. I wish, you know, it'd be nice to spice it up with a murder or two. But it gets into a type of, you know, it gets into the shadowlands, you know, into this ethically unsavory, deceptive behavior that, you know, as they say about many things, there ought to be a law against.
Yeah, absolutely. You talk about the Panama Papers as well. That's another one, isn't it, that's featured in the book?
The story in the Panama Papers is, you know, these Panama Papers were unearthed and organized by a journalistic organization. And, you know, they set strict rules in place to try to prevent private spies from coming in and mining the Panama Papers. But the story I tell is about a British journalist who is sort of a hybrid figure, you know, spent part of his time working for publications and the other part of his time working for private spying firms. And he managed to dupe folks and into giving access to the Panama Papers. And then he turned around, and as you read in the book and see in the emails that he's written, he goes out and starts shopping these to, you know, other private spies, including the aforementioned Christopher Steele, the author of the Trump dossier.
Wow. It really is a dark and murky world. How do you, as a journalist, you know, do you have to kind of be regulated with yourself, you know, switching off from this kind of dark world that you look at and remember that, you know, there is another world out there of normal life, people going about their everyday business?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I have always seen my role as a journalist to shed light on worlds that people didn't want uncovered. I was the first journalist to expose, you know, the Sackler family, this multi-billion dollar family in the U.S. whose company produced the drug OxyContin, which went on to create the opioid epidemic. And, you know, I did not see my investigation of the private spying industry really as any different other than to expose a world that the public needs to know about and needs to arm itself against.
I know we talked about this earlier, but, you know, when you walk out your door, do you have to check because you think, you know, some of these people that you're making an enemy of, you know, and rightly so, because you're exposing some of the awful things they're doing. They're not going to like it, obviously, are they? They're not going to like you.
They don't like me. They won't like me. And the wonderful thing about getting older and working for yourself, as I do now as an author, is I really don't care.
That's a great place to be. That's a great place to be, isn't it?
Yes, it's freedom.
Yeah, but your family might care, though.
They're used to me by now. They're used to me by now.
I hope that's not a spy ringing right now.
No, it's actually my daughter who spies on me a lot. I forgot to turn off my phone.
Have you ever been spied on yourself?
You know, I have, in fact, you know, in this litigation that's coming up involving Purdue Pharma and the drug OxyContin, the manufacturer sent out private spies to check out on me.
It is an absolutely fascinating underworld. It really is. And thank you for bringing it to light for us. As you said, the book's going down really well. You're a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist. And I know this book's going to sell well. So it's going to be available on our website, tre.radio. It's called Spooked. We really just skimmed the surface this afternoon. If you really want to find out a lot more about it, you're going to have to get the book. But I really want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Barry.
Hey, it's been great fun. Yeah. Hope we'll meet in person someday.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so when all this is over, right? Let's hope so. Thank you, Barry. Right. Stay safe there, and we'll see you soon. Take care.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.